This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm joined by Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is 2024. We are back. We are kicking things off in a great way. We had Alyssa here. We had Joy here. Like, she's here every Wednesday, and it's Thursday. Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
And then no one else was available, so we got Sarah.
Well, you know, Joy, everyone knows. If you listen to the podcast on Wednesdays, we got Joy. On Fridays, we got Anna. And, you know, if we don't have anybody, we get Sarah. And it's great. We're always happy to have you.
Guys, how long is this joke going to last? He's going to run this until...
Listen, America loves you. I'm reading the reviews.
I wish Brian loved me.
Oh, you know I do. You know I do. All right, so tell us about your holiday break.
Okay, we had an amazing holiday. First, I got to go to Florida to see my parents without the kids or husband, and it was a lot of quality time. I can't miss a Haynes Christmas. I came back for the holiday, and then we were leaving for the Bahamas. We had a couple things happen along the way. So on Christmas Eve, we're leaving our friend's house, and Max kept telling me something was wrong with Caleb, but I thought he was tired. We walked to the front stairs, and Caleb projectile vomits down the driveway. And then, most couples, I think Max got mad at me. He goes, "I told you he was out of it." And I said, "I thought you meant tired." Like, you know, so we go home and cheerfully, while ignoring each other, change into our matching pajamas. And then someone crawls in the middle of the night. And I said, "Caleb, you can't sleep with us. Get out." And he goes, "I just threw up, Mama." And he like curled into me. And he was, normally he lays still. He was all over there. Like his feet were at our head. And we had no sleep on Christmas. And I wake up and I go in and he had thrown up in his bed. So I'm changing sheets and doing it before we let the kids go down. But now, fast forward, everything's fine for a couple days. We leave for the Bahamas the first night. Everything went wrong. We walked down to the pool and the restaurants had closed. And Caleb's crying. He wants food. And the kids are everywhere. The pool closes. There's no alcohol. It's just like one thing after the next. We go to have a nice dinner. We're all dressed up. Max is like, "This is so nice." We sit down on these couches. Caleb projectile vomits all over the waitress. And Brian, literally,
oh my gosh,
the divorce that happens every time chaos hits. Like, we looked at each other and Max's like, "What do we do?" I was like, "I don't know what we do." He's like, "Do we keep the food?" And Caleb's like, "Shushi." I went, "Shushi." And I'm like, "Do we, what?" And the waitress goes, "This is a lot. Do you want me to bring you a few napkins?"
And she's covered, like, in projectile vomit. Yeah.
It was, so I walked through the whole casino with a dress that was a long dress to start with, now up at my waist because you could see the stain down my leg.
That's hysterical.
Holding my bag while my child, who, there was no wasting napkins on him. We just wanted to get out of there. It's an eating establishment and he just recycled food. So we like walk out. I have to take all three kids by myself and I go, "Max, if you come upstairs without alcohol, you're not coming in." Because I had been trying to get a drink all day. He goes, "Sir, I don't think the restaurant's good." I go, "Max, if you come upstairs without alcohol, you're not coming in." He literally saved the night. Everything was fine. We all went to bed. And then the next day, Max wakes up and has a stomach bug.
This sounds like one of the skits we did in Bahamar. We just, like, Sarah's night out and projectile vomiting every 5 seconds.
But I did the big slide.
Oh, good.
But, so that's crazy.
The one that Sunny locked you into?
No. The big light, long white one.
Oh, the one
the
that
scary
Joy
one.
Down.
Remember when we left and I said, "I'm a little bummed because I was scared to do it and I didn't do it."
I do.
I said to Max, the kids are all crying because, again, 3 days, two were a little overcast and Max was under the weather. So I had one day of like trying to keep three kids alive in water, which took, you know, a little bit. Sorry, I really want you to see this. And then,
you know, it's an audio podcast, right?
No, I know, but okay. I want you to see it.
Sarah's thumbing through her phone as we speak.
As if anyone else can see it. So I said, "Max, I need to do this for me." He goes, "Right now." And I was like, "How many times do we come back here? I need to do it." Yeah. He goes, "Okay, babe, go ahead." One kid's crying. The other one's cold. They'd eaten ice cream. It was down the front of them. I was so proud, though, to have done it because it was one of those fear things.
Right. No, for sure. So there, you look great. I'm watching this. This is hysterical. And you, congratulations that you did this. We should post it on social so people can see. I have two similar stories from this. So I went to the Bahamas on my honeymoon. and
wait, okay,
years ago,
but
not Baja Mar.
Atlantis.
I was at Atlantis.
Yeah.
And they have a similar type of scary.
I think it's the
slide.
Same slide.
Yeah, it goes straight down. It goes through like a shark tank or something.
Oh, I wish mine did.
It was cool. And so I went down it at my wife's prodding, my newlywed wife, and she says that I screamed so loud that the people that worked from like miles away were cracking up laughing. Like they hear people go down this all day long, but apparently my scream of terror was so loud that it got the attention of everyone working at the hotel.
I could act surprised at that.
No, but she loves to tell that story. And then the other story, the projectile story, I have to tell this.
God, it's so uncomfortable.
I was lucky enough to take my kids to London last year, and we were in a very fancy and proper store. You remember the story? We're in a very proper, fancy department store in London, and my then, I guess, 8-year-old was with me, and we went up, and they were giving away samples of tea. And she doesn't usually try different things, but she wanted to try a peppermint tea. And I guess she wasn't prepared for it to be hot, or I guess she wasn't prepared for it to be strong. She took a swig and then did a spit take all over basically Mary Poppins. There was this very prim and proper British woman who had served the tea, who just got a complete face full of hot steaming tea. To her credit, did not react anywhere other than, oh dear.
And by the way, that's her flipping out.
She was
out.
Scalding. I mean, she was scalded by
she
my daughter.
She probably has second-degree burns in it.
Yeah, I felt like I bought all the tea in the store. I had no choice at that point. I had to buy all the tea she had, and then we backed out of the store. But well, this is being a parent.
The side story of being a parent, though, is we got on these couches. Do you remember Katsuya, the restaurant?
Yeah.
So we're on those couches, and I was like, we were literally having a moment. We're at the end of this travel day. We're like, this is just amazing. And Caleb's laying against me. Once that happens, though, both kids jump up. And at that point, you want everything to calm down so no one notices because someone just threw up.
Right.
My kids are like, oh, mom, I'm going to throw up. And one runs that way. One runs this way. And I was like, get your ass over here. Like, I am like looking at them like it was. And then this one family, which is also hard to look at, is all looking at me like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
did somebody just throw up?
Well, we're so. And it was sunny. No.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky to be able to take our kids places like this. And like when I was a kid, I was projectile vomiting in Amish country. And it was, this is part of being a parent.
Yeah.
Part of what you get to do. But
it feels a little less bad when you're at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Agreed.
No shade.
Agreed. All right. Well, let's talk about the show because we had a great show. We had a great shows this week. I feel like we're
fun.
Really
you said
starting
after Mondays. You were like, this was so fun. I forgot.
Mondays was really fun. And
not Mondays, Tuesdays. Sorry. We
sorry. Tuesdays
Monday.
Was really fun. And then Chris Christie Wednesday was terrific. I thought that was an amazing.
We could have gone for all week with him.
I think we did. But then today we had Kate Hudson on. And
she's lovely.
She's terrific. And she talked about how she's raising her kids to be free and wild. Maybe not as wild as yours.
Yeah.
But she's trying to teach them to just enjoy being a kid instead of pressuring them to be perfect. Do you relate to that?
Well, the part that got me is Summer, the producer, was telling me, she just doesn't want to like pass along any hangups. And I was like, oh, are we supposed to try and do that? Because my kids know I'm petrified of public bathrooms because I have nightmares about them.
Yeah.
So I will tell them and scream all the way through, don't touch anything. I'm holding your hands. I don't even start at 0 to 60. I start at 60. And I'm like, you will pee in the hole. Like, we will do this. We will not touch. I have definitely passed on because anytime we go near a bathroom, don't worry, Mama, I held it so I don't have to go. And I'm like, my child's going to get a UTI. Like, why are we? Because I've handed off every obsessive thing I do and I don't want to be this way. But I'm definitely not capable of parenting wild kids.
First of all, I'd like to go one episode without having to edit out one of you talking about a UTI.
We'll move on from that.
No, it's hysterical. But I can actually relate to this, too, because my wife constantly, because I don't know if it's nerves or whatever else, always makes sure that, like, if we're at intermission at a Broadway show, she runs to the
bathroom.
That's
smart planning.
If we're getting in the car, right before we leave, she goes. And I think it's like, I don't understand it at all, but she has passed this on to my daughter, who now is terrified anytime she sees a bathroom. Oh, I got to go. But you just went 3 seconds ago, just in case. It's a thing. It's really annoying. And this is what mothers
do to
their daughters.
Daniel Tiger teaches to go before you leave the house. Mm-hmm. And so we tell our kids, you're going to go before you leave the house. We were driving and like normal, Sandra said, I now have to go. And I was like, but you missed your opportunity. We said you had to go. And she's like, I really have to go. My option was a gas station bathroom. Do you know what I did? In suburban New Jersey, I pulled over and let her squat on the side of the road because I was not going into a bathroom. I would rather squat in front of 100 people that go into a public, dirty restroom.
Yeah, my wife's the same way. All right, so, I mean, do you feel like, I mean, you're like the opposite of a tiger mom, really, I would say.
Yeah,
like,
I am so not a tiger mom. I think the goal is not finding, you know, I once read somewhere about, the goal is not to make, when you say, I just want my kids to be happy, even saying that out loud over and over gives them the expectation that happy is the goal.
Be happy, damn it.
Yes. But what I realize is that you're actually trying to arm them to be okay with all the feelings. So you're not running away from everything your whole life, which mm-hmm. most of our generation is. So I am big on, I want them to be find things that make them happy, hobbies, activities, jobs, careers, if they go to school or don't go to school. I'm also of the school thought, I don't know if everyone's cut out for college. I'm like, we'll see. They have to be kind and hardworking. Those are my only two things that I will beat my children into if I have to. Kind, hardworking. That's it.
My kids are going to college. but I respect it.
I barely known mine, so we're going to leave that open for now.
Oh, God, I loved college. All right, so.
I did not.
You did not love college?
College was brutal for me.
Really?
Everyone has their best college memories. I look at it as I feel like someone was making taffy. It has a really sweet outcome and you get to graduate and all that. The whole process to me was growing, building, testing, figuring out who I was, being away from my parents, being very different from my parents and not quite knowing that until I was away from them. Cutting the umbilical cord, like all the things. I went from Newton, Iowa to Smith College.
Right.
Like you could not have a bigger pivot. And so, and the level of academics, I'm not someone that like just doesn't try and gets all good grades. I work to get in, I work to stay in, I work to graduate. So I was always doing something and I was a two-season athlete.
See, college for me was the first time I felt like myself, actually. It's very interesting. When I look back, I feel like I completely reinvented myself in college in a positive way and made friends for the first time that are interested in the things that I was interested in. And
that's great.
Yeah, and they're still lifelong friends now. That was the best 4 years I ever had until I met my wife and family, of course, and started working here.
Of course.
Yeah. No, but
and it's been all downhill since.
No, but I absolutely adored college.
I don't think I knew, had those feelings of what you're saying.
I hated high school, so that's probably the difference.
I didn't hate high school, but I didn't love high school. I don't know if anyone, well,
no,
obviously,
people do. Yeah.
Al Bundy did. But mm-hmm. beyond that, I think that my 30s was where I felt what you're describing in college. It took me a long time to undo the world's programming of me.
No, oh, that's really interesting.
So interesting, we're going to move right on.
Yeah, we are. No, let's spend more about undoing your programming. Tell us more, Sarah.
No, I have nothing left, but I loved, you didn't even pause, look up. There was no sympathy in your eyes. It was just, okay,
just
bye.
Cold, dead eyes. Well, there's no cameras in here. so it's fine. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S.? And supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. We asked Kate Hudson about her brother and sibling relationships.
Oh, yeah.
She said those relationships can be the most complicated and the most rewarding. Yeah. You're very close to your brother. Do you agree with that?
Well, and I have two sisters, too. It's complicated all the time, but like one of the most worthwhile friendships, because I think the family you choose often is more like you and symbiotic. Mm-hmm. From your life partners to the best friends, the people you run around with are so much more like me than my siblings, and yet there's nothing I wouldn't do for my siblings. Like it, and yet, sure. Even Max, when he goes near my family, he's like, you guys, like every family, have dysfunction. There are times you're picking, and yet you guys can't wait till the next time you're all going to be together. He's like, it's really weird to watch. And I was like, you wouldn't get it unless you had a big family. Like, it just is the way it is. But what I loved about what she said is, I wish I worked with one of my siblings, because she said that time together made us more aware of each other's day-to-day lives in a way I didn't realize we weren't until we had it. Hmm. And I don't get to know. I try texting they're crap texters. Like, my brother might text back next month. Susan, my sister, also might text back next month. Kathy's the only shot I have. And so knowing, like, what was up today, I'll send them a little, like, I hope you have a great day. I love you. My sister specifically, you're so strong and all this stuff. And, like, 5 days later, I'll get maybe, like, and that's passive aggressive. I learned that on our show.
Just, again, for the audio listeners
up
at home, she's holding her thumb up.
Okay, Brian, you know what?
I mean, it's just figure out the medium.
I know.
But it's fine. I have one sister who I'm very close with. But I can push her buttons, and there's something built.
Yeah, because you know them.
There's something in me that just does it all the time. We live close to our folks, and we have like a Sunday dinner, and I just hit the buttons to make her mad at me, and I can't stop myself. I don't know what's
wrong with it. There's something fun about trolling. Like, I troll my co-hosts and my colleagues, mm-hmm, like a sibling. That part's fun, though, because I typically am going for a laugh. So I would say my sister Susan is more like you. Mm-hmm. My sister Susan, the one right above me, wants to poke for a reaction, and she's really open to whatever that reaction is. I poke because I want you to laugh.
Okay.
I want you to feel loved and the attention of me spending so much. One day when I was here the first time on this show, I spent a whole morning not prepping for Hot Topics, full disclosure. I wanted Joy to freak out about going in the sound booth because someone said she gets claustrophobic.
Oh, the wind booth.
The wind booth, yeah. Sorry, wind booth. So I called her and like made the operator do an outside line. And then I said, you know, I'm from props. I just wanted to let you know that wind booth, the door gets stuck and sometimes it can feel a little warm in there. She flipped out, didn't know this, came to Brian. And I had spent the whole morning figuring out how to deliver the perfect call. I was not expecting the anger I got at the wind booth, not me. And then I felt a little guilty reminding myself what my parents would say, like, you have a job.
Plus,
like,
what are you doing to me?
Well, Brian was the least of my concerns, but it was so much fun because she panicked and would not go. And then she's screaming in the hallway. And I thought, wow, I read this wrong.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that reaction.
I love to poke the bear. I never poke that bear.
Oh, I like poked and poked, and that bear was not hibernating. I was not ready for what I got.
No, because once you can't bring her back down for a while.
Yeah, you had to change everything for that. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no.
I just wanted a little giggle.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
I overshot.
Yeah. Right. All right. So you're looking for a reaction.
So I'm just looking. Yeah. I love sibling dynamics. And if you can be that way with people, if you're passive aggressive or sarcastic, to me, that's different. If you're...
Now you're looking at me. I'm a little passive aggressive.
Or we're in a podcast. I'm staring at Brian to let him know, just to make sure we handle this medium properly.
Yes.
But I'm doing it so someone always feels that someone loves them enough, like that they're... Did you just roll your eyes at me?
I'm just having fun with the medium.
He literally just rolled his eyes like a four-year-old.
Continue.
Okay. So my point is, I love having siblings. They are complicated, and I still would choose them every day.
Are you competitive?
No, my sister is, though. I just wanted people to laugh. Like, I just wanted to be, I was the peacekeeping third child. I wanted us all to be together. I wanted everyone to be getting along. But my sister, Susan, had to win at everything.
Yeah, I'm like that.
I imagine.
I'm a little bit like that. And my sister has her doctorate, and so she's Dr. Allie, and that drives me a little nuts, and she knows that, so she won that one.
I could see you making her call you by some formal title as an executive producer.
I'd really like to get a...
People in my business say executive producer
Emmy
Teta
Award winner,
when we talk.
Brian Teta, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I would very much like to get an honorary doctorate so I can just stick that at the front.
Yeah, and, but then we all know it was honorary,
yeah,
so...
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm still doctor. It's fine.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, if someone has a heart attack, you're going to still need to call 911.
Well, she's a psychologist.
Name the movie.
You're still
name the
need
movie.
To do that.
Name the movie.
Is it Hangover? No.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh my God, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Thank you.
We're together. Look at that. All right. Let's talk before we go about tomorrow's show, because we have Gypsy Rose here.
Oh, Gypsy Rose.
People are very interested in this story. I mean, it's obviously serious. Tell me what you know about it.
So I'm two episodes in and binging these. I think there's five or six.
The documentary,
sorry. I knew of the story when it came out, and it always wrenched my heart. But seeing this has, like, taken it to a whole new level. That, like, a life, you worry about regret and wasted time. This woman literally says, and this is the part that almost brought me, I mean, to tears, was the most free she'd ever felt was her first day in prison.
Wow.
And she said it was the first time she felt free of her mom. And to know that that's where she was mentally it tells you almost everything you need to know. The color added to that story and all that she was put through. That was a slow torture of a child.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those who don't know, this is Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who was convicted of conspiring to murder her mother. Now she's out of prison. She's coming on the show tomorrow, and we're going to talk to her. And she was a victim of
Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah, severe abuse. So it's interesting. So you find yourself sympathetic to her?
Oh, I'm full blown sympathetic to her. 100%. You put someone through that kind of trauma and terror and torture and abuse. You name it. This went on her whole life from infancy until this happened.
She was in her 20s,
which means she had been imprisoned for that entire time.
Right.
The verbal abuse, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse,
yeah,
all these things, I cannot imagine the response of what that takes. So I don't really have any, I am all in her corner on how I see this story and the damage that was done.
All right, well, I'm very interested to hear from her, and I think the audience will be interested too. So that's great. You know, there was a topic today we didn't get to do. It was a Refinery 29 article called "The Problem with Low Maintenance Friendships."
I love low maintenance.
Are you a low maintenance friend?
Yeah. Well, except to Max, but other than that, I'm low maintenance for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I want low maintenance because life is high maintenance. I don't need that invited into my inner circle.
You know, you were talking about your sister not texting back right away and things like that. You kind of do that too. I mean, like,
no, I think it runs in our family.
Yeah. Like, I'll throw something out to you, and it'll be a couple days or no response.
Well, typically, if you write me. The ones I don't ignore, but like when you send me a meme like Merry Christmas, that's harder for me to reply to than a message.
You could just write Merry Christmas back.
I could. Or ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I dropped that ball. But remember, my child was projectile vomiting.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, next time I'll write like a four page sonnet about my feelings of you as a host.
I want to see your feelings. The maintenance I expect from you is typed letters.
You don't like my Bitmoji of me hanging out of a chimney?
No, because I know you sent that Bitmoji to everyone. Yeah. Even if you're cutting and pasting a written message, it feels a little more personal.
Oh, geez.
See how low maintenance I am?
Okay. Dearest Sarah, I miss working with you. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday. And I look
forward. About the projectile
Sorry
vomiting.
About the, well, I didn't even know about it until today.
I didn't have time to write. I was wiping up babies and kids. My husband was dying because when he gets sick, it's like next stop is the hospital. You know,
man,
like,
flu.
Yeah, it was something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had to talk him out of that room to say, please just come and keep your eyes on one life to keep them alive near water, because I couldn't do it by myself. And I did.
For Sounds like a lovely holiday.
That's why I didn't reply with Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Love having you here.
Until next time when you can't book someone else.
Hey, good news, guys. Tomorrow Anna's here, which is great. Tomorrow Anna will be joining me fresh from her birthday show, which is exciting. We love the birthday show. And you enjoy a birthday show, don't you?
I love birthdays.
We got a lot of stuff going on. Thank you for listening. Folks, I ask for reviews every day. Maybe you don't need to review this one. Ow! Visual medium. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.